T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
John Heyman is brought to you by Sport Clips. Sport Clips, cut the weight. Download the new Sports Clips Haircuts app and check in by Brothers Supply, New York's number one source for Rice Air, P-Tax, Water Source, Heat Pumps, Fan Coils, and by Greenwich Hospital. The incomparable John Heyman is with us. Hello, John.
Guys, how are you doing?
We're great, John. You?
I'm good. You sound a little upset about Jamal Adams.
A joke. Did you see what he got fined for, John?
I did. You guys could set up a GoFundMe page if you.
It's not about that.
Yeah, come on, it's
ridiculous.
About
what the league is trying to do.
I mean, he barely touches. He pushes Baker Mayfield, who, by the way, the league is now anointed as a big star. The guy's won nothing so far, and they've already anointed him as a star. And I want to see how much Myles Garrett got fined for not only the hit on. There was another hit earlier on Simeon too, where he got a roughing the passer, and then he knocks the guy out for the season. But it's only Trevor Siemian. I know he's from Northwestern, but who cares?
You know? No, I care. I care
no,
about
I
Trevor Siemian.
No, I understand.
Yeah, I care about that one. But I think they're probably nervous because some of the better players have already been knocked out, right? Drew Brees, my
yeah, but it's tackle
Come
football.
Come on, this
That's
is right.
Thing.
Exactly.
That's why at the end of the day, look, Jamal Adams lost $20,000. He could afford it. What would scare me is him thinking about plays like
right.
this. And it takes away his aggressiveness.
Yeah,
he can't lose his aggressiveness.
Yeah, they won't do that.
Well, I saw Matthias Kiwanuka.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
On the
Vince
hog
Young.
Vince Young
because
he was probably thinking, they're going to call me for a late hit. They blew the whistle.
Yep, no
so
doubt.
I've seen it.
Of course, the Giants
games.
A game.
Damn right it did.
Yep.
Anyway,
yeah, I don't think it's going to change him, though.
All right. CC Sabathia.
Okay.
Is he and should he be on the Yankee postseason roster?
You know, the way they gave him that send off, it just felt like that was. They were thinking that might be it for him. So I'm thinking he may not be on the roster just based on all the sentimentality, the crying. You know, obviously great career, great Yankee career. I'm sure you guys won't agree. I think he's a Hall of Famer, but I kind of think he may not be on the roster at this point, especially with Severino back now. Their pitching looks like it's in pretty decent shape.
You know, I use this example. We were talking about it before, how in 2000, David Cohn, I looked up the numbers. They were worse than I remembered. David Cohn in 2000 had a record of 4-14 with a 6.91 ERA, made 29 starts, right? Had a full year. 6.91. That's as bad as it gets. David would admit it. Joe Torre used him in Game 4 of the World Series to get Mike Piazza out. One batter to get him out. Do you not think that CeCe, and I'm not saying his stats make him deserving of being on a postseason roster, but I don't know. CeCe Sabathia getting one guy out in a big spot versus Luis Sessa? I got to tell you, I think I'm on Team CeCe, John.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely pluses to having him on the roster, but I think it's a tight call, and I'm just reading what we saw yesterday, and it felt like there's a good possibility he won't be on the roster. You know, their pitching is not – I mean, their relief pitching is fantastic as is. You know, and they right now with Severino looking pretty good and Paxton's been good, you know, he doesn't fit into one of your top four or five starters, so he doesn't really have any background in relief pitching. So, you know, I think there's a possibility he'll be left out.
Would the Yankees be better off not getting the best record in the American League so they could play Minnesota? What do you think about that?
Yeah, they have a history of killing Minnesota. Yeah,
yes.
I'm not in favor of that. I think the home field is a big deal for the Yankees.
Okay.
I don't think it's a big deal for Houston or L.A., but, boy, the Yankees are very intimidating at home. So I think they should go for the best record.
Who's the most dangerous first-round matchup for them? And you got a lot of options right now because there's still a lot of possibilities.
Yes,
Oakland, Tampa,
Oakland.
Cleveland, and
Oakland.
Minnesota. Why?
Yeah, I'm with Oakland. Oakland is a great young team.
Great.
I mean, there aren't, you know, there's only 30 teams. They're one of the five or six best teams, I
great
think.
Great young team.
I think they're good. And plus, they've added Luzardo, Puck, and now Manaea is back. He's kind of their secret weapon. Nobody's talking about him. He's been really good since coming back. And you know, they've got power, not as much as the Yankees. You know, one of the Yankees play their favored. And
of course.
I know they've had their way with Oakland and Minnesota in the playoffs, but Cleveland's the one that's given them trouble in the past in the playoffs.
Well,
but
Cleveland's actually beaten them in the playoffs.
Yeah. I think Oakland is the dangerous team. Yankees and the Astros are the best teams. Oakland's the dangerous team.
Oakland is very dangerous, and they are a good team. I have to give them credit. But the Minnesota Twins have hit 40 more home runs as a team, and they've scored a half a run more. Just pointing that out. And I think they have – look, Sean Manaea has been great. I mean, there's no doubt. Since he's come back, he's been fantastic. But I think Barrios could be a big weapon for Minnesota as that ace. I know that neither team really has an ace unless we assume Sean Manaea is becoming that. But I think Minnesota's more. Minnesota's got a better lineup. And the A's have a damn good lineup, too. I mean, Matt Olson, it's a home run every other day.
Yeah. Both teams have fantastic lineups. Minnesota has been right there with Houston and the Yankees. Those have been the three best offenses. You know, I think they have a solid rotation. I like Odorizzi, but he doesn't really scare you.
Does Homer Bailey scare you? I know he was great the other day, but I still can't get over the fact that Homer Bailey.
Oakland scares me. No, okay. Homer Bailey does not scare me. But Oakland, just as a team, just the whole thing that's going on with them, Chapman, Olson, Canna, they've got a scary team to me. Minnesota, I don't know. They seem, for some reason, both teams are young. Minnesota seems younger, and Minnesota really struggles against Yankees in the playoffs. I don't know what that is, and maybe that won't hold true, but they've never threatened to beat the Yankees when they played.
I think one time, I'm trying to remember the year, they won game one at Yankee Stadium. They in a best of
I
five.
I think you
series.
Might be right. But they probably got blown out. Right?
Yeah, they lost the next four games. And for some reason, I think Johan Santana came out of the bullpen in that game, in game one. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I got to go look that up and see if I'm right about it. Was it 03?
I don't remember. Even when they were doing well, when Joe Mauer hit the ball in the corner and it bounced off of Melky's glove and rolled around, they called it a foul ball. So the one moment where it looked scary for them, they got taken away from.
I got it. It was 2003, game one. The Twins won 3-1. And the game was actually started by Johan Santana. Pitched four scoreless innings, and then the former Met Rick Reed came in. And they beat Mike Mussina that day. And they won game one, and then the Yankees won the next three. So I guess that was the only time they technically scared them by, you know, being up in a series.
I just don't think the Yankees are scared of Minnesota.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, they're good. They've had a great year. I give them credit. Good pickups. Nice team. Great lineup. Very deep. But they're not going to beat the Yankees.
I had the wild card in the American League. So you got Oakland, you got in already. Okay, you're putting Oakland in the wild card already. Minnesota, Cleveland, Tampa Bay. Who's the other one?
Well, I've been going with Cleveland all along, so I don't like to switch based on the week that teams have. The Rays do look pretty good, though. You know, fell back. It wasn't great the first time back, but no, he actually was. He only pitched a couple innings. Snell back and Glass now. They look really good. But, you know, I stick with my pick. So I'm going to stick with Cleveland.
Are the Mets dead again?
I can't. I don't want to dead them and then undead them.
We've done it 17 times already.
It gets to be embarrassing after a while. So I'm not going to say dead. Three games, not insurmountable. The one real problem, though, is it's going to be hard to pass Milwaukee. Have you seen Milwaukee's schedule?
Yeah. They play nobody. They play the Pirates this weekend after they're done with the Padres today.
Pirates, they're done. They play Cincinnati. They do get Gray in that series, so they got one game there that's tough. And Cincinnati's not terrible. They're still trying. And they have Colorado as well. So they have all their games are against losing teams.
Yeah, but you know what? As crazy as this may sound, the Pirates, I have no confidence in. They'll probably roll them over. But with Cincinnati and Colorado, the same teams the Mets are going through right now, I mean, look, Cincinnati just beat the Cubs a couple of times.
Yes.
You know, the Rockies have been a little feisty in this series. I don't know. On the road, as Joe mentioned, six games, you know, maybe they lose a couple of times. But I think it leaves the Mets in a position where they really have to run the table.
Yeah,
they got to win every game.
Ten games to go. They got to win them all, pretty much.
They do. But that was funny that the Rockies yesterday went with their Diaz and then Harvey. Diaz and Harvey is the final two pitchers for the Rockies. I thought they were trolling them. I'm not sure what happened.
But it wasn't as bad as Bobby Cox and Bong coming in. You know?
No, I love that.
I sure you did. I didn't love it.
And then he had, I think Bong was the right-handed hitter, and they had him bat left-handed, so he faced the Mets dugout too, right?
Oh, God. Bobby Cox.
Beautiful times,
my friend.
I
love him.
Beautiful
that was
times.
Great. He should have admitted it, though. He didn't admit
it. Oh, come on. Admit it. He's never going to admit that.
They even changed the guy's name to Bong, I think. He has a different name.
Really? I didn't know
no,
that.
No, that was his name.
Oh, okay.
It was Bong. Thank you.
Yeah, Young Bong.
Right, right.
I remember that guy.
Yeah.
Could have changed
it to Water Pipe, too. Could have done that.
What do you think of the Nationals yesterday? Because they lose again. Things have really tightened up for them, especially like you mentioned with the Brewers playing well. It's possible the Brewers and Cubs could both get in, and the Nats could be on the outside looking
in. Yeah, I mean, it could be a three Central teams, potentially. I can remember being asked on MLB Network, is it going to be three teams from the East? And I said no at the time, and I think it might be three from the Central now, because I think Milwaukee's in with that schedule. I know you guys aren't as big on the schedule as maybe, but when you have all losers that you're facing, that gives you a lot of confidence. I think Milwaukee's going to make it, and St. Louis is in very good shape. So at this point, Washington is a threat to fall out completely. I didn't. What Fangraphs had him at 98%.
Well, that's why that's stupid. That's why it's
dumb. So
dumb. And you shouldn't look at it.
Fangraphs.
I might be misquoted. It might be 97.5.
No, but John, I have heard this all year long.
Fangraphs makes me crazy.
This percentage.
it's ridiculous.
And it's not just Fangraphs.
Why play the games? They shouldn't even play.
Baseball Reference does it too, where they give you the percentage that the team's going to win the World Series and make the playoffs. And it changes every freaking day. What's the point?
Right.
Why are we looking at it?
Because you know what it is? Because it's just another company that, you know, that nobody really needs that is making money. That's what it comes down to.
Well, they do other things, but Fangraphs and Baseball Reference do a lot of things. It's that thing that's just dumb. That specific thing to me is a waste of time.
They do it even like for football, like the college football game. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah. I think
I'm not bothered by Fangraphs making money. It's a company.
No, it's fine. It can make money, but I mean,
I'm with you on that.
How did we live? How did I live for almost 60 years watching, you know, football, whatever it was, any sport, without Fangraphs? I don't know how he did it. How did I do
well,
it? It was impossible.
You lived 50 years without a cell phone, right?
So now I still don't have one of those. I barely have one, but yes, it works. It works in about half the places I am. Yes.
What phone? What do you have there?
Yeah, I have my phone basically is from the late 30s, somewhere in there.
All right, John, we got an interesting one tonight. The Jaguars are at home.
Are you sleeping already, John?
Yeah, I mean, we've had enough of them already.
Jackson, I'm going to ask him if he thinks Jake's going to win a Cy Young.
Well, but he has a vote in that matter,
I know,
too,
so what do you think?
Jake's the leader, clear leader at this point.
Okay.
Now, when it comes down to the final day of the season or after, I can't say anything. But as of today, he's the clear leader.
Oh, he is the clear leader. And you know what helped? Matt Wieters hitting a two-run homer off Max Scherzer in the seventh inning yesterday. Because Max, I watched it. Max was dominant. Struck out 11 guys, didn't walk anybody. But he gave up 5 runs, which hurt his ERA. Forget the win-loss record, because I think Jake is proving that doesn't matter.
Yeah, well.
And I just think between the combination...
I think it helps him.
Why?
Because. I think that because in today's sports, it's so downplayed with wins that they like the fact of giving a Cy Young to a guy like that.
Verlander's going to win it.
Well, that's different, though. He's been so dominant, you got to give it to
him. I think it's just ignored now. I don't think it's necessarily a badge of honor anymore. I think it may have been a couple years ago when they were breaking through that barrier of wins not mattering. But now I just think everybody accepts it.
I mean,
I think
Verlander's just been tremendous.
But I think, like you accept it. You don't cite wins.
Believe me, I'd like to see Jake have 20 wins. But, I mean,
I'd
like to see that. But, I mean, it is what it is.
Well, it's just that it doesn't matter because it shows you it's not about the pitcher. It's about the team around them. It's about bullpens. It's about offense. And if we're judging a pitcher's performance, to me, it's always been foolish to half judge it on what the team does. And it's foolish to me. It never made sense. This is one of those things that the new age sabermetric guys have always been right about. And I'm sorry, old school's wrong. They've always been wrong. I thought it when I was 8.
Well, you don't have guys pitching 9 innings anymore.
Absolutely.
Part of it. That's a big part of it.
I acknowledge that. That is the game being different certainly leads to it. But Jake has it. He's got innings. He's got ERA. He's got strikeouts. As long as he doesn't blow up in his next 2 starts, John, I think he's moving towards being the guy.
So you are leaning towards voting for him, even though you can't reveal that at this point.
Right. Today I can reveal that, he's the leader. He's the guy at this moment. But we still have 10 days to go, so we still have a couple starts for each of these guys.
I'll tell you this.
Close enough that it could change, but you're right. He leads in strikeouts, he leads in whip, and he leads in, of course, your guy's favorite, war. Yeah, the win doesn't matter. I look at it a little bit, but I mean, Scherzer, I think, was probably running second. He doesn't have a big win total either, so it doesn't.
Let me tell you something, John, I will acknowledge I am biased. I'm going to say that right out of the gate. I'm biased against Max Scherzer, because I traded for Max Scherzer in fantasy, and he made two postseason starts for me, and he sucked. Okay, so I'm gonna be blunt. But let me lay this out. Since July 25th, that's a pretty big sample size, right, Joe? That's the half of the season.
Yep.
Max Scherzer has done basically nothing. So I get before that, he was amazing. Before that, he was an MVP candidate, let alone Cy Young Award winner. But he has done nothing since July 25th. He's gone less than six innings in half of those starts. He's given up three runs or more in half of those starts. His ERA has gone up half a run, and oh, by the way, he's barely pitched. That guy ain't winning the Cy Young over a guy who every 5 days, Joe, has taken the freaking baseball and basically pitched seven innings and got no run support and barely gives up a run. So it's a joke if Max Scherzer wins. I'm sorry.
Well, as of today, like I said, DeGrom's in the lead, but it's not a huge lead. You look at the total picture. I'm not going to – since July 25th, okay.
That's half the year.
All right. Well, you know what? Granke was traded on July 31st, and he still has pretty good stats in the National League. Maybe he'll get some support.
Look, Granke, if he didn't get traded, could have won. I'd be the first to acknowledge
that. I think he might have won. If you look at what was going on there.
Well, he got traded. I mean, that's not my problem. He's not in the league anymore. I mean, what am I going to tell you? But you wouldn't feel uncomfortable voting for a guy who's done nothing?
Didn't Sutcliffe play half a year with the team and he won?
With the Cubs, 1984.
Did he win?
Yeah, he went like 16-1 with the Cubs that year.
Right.
And they won. You know, they wound up winning the division.
Right. And we look at wins.
Are you really comparing that to what I just explained with Max Scherzer? Because it's actually not comparable at all.
Well,
I told you this guy's done nothing for 2 months, and he's basically done nothing.
Okay. Well, if he'd done nothing for 2 months and he still had the best stats, he'd be the winner. But he does not have the best stats anymore.
Exactly.
Right. So.
Yeah. Yeah, both points are true. He doesn't have the best stats.
But he's probably second best.
Do
so,
you think you it know. Matters? Do you maybe it doesn't to John. Maybe it doesn't to you, Joe. I don't know. Do you think it matters that unlike Hyunjin Ryu, who was very good against the Mets, but for the most part has not been great in the second half, do you think what you do in a pennant race matters? Or do we just ignore it and say, hey, it's best pitcher. It's really about the overall numbers, not what a guy's done, what he's done over the last few months in a pennant race.
Look, if Mike Trout is going to win the MVP every year on a team that's 20 games under 500, then obviously it doesn't matter.
Mike Trout should not win the MVP this year.
Of course not.
He didn't play enough. Sorry.
Mike
Trout's going to win the MVP.
He played 134 games. That's not enough.
Of course. All right, Mickey Mantle played 123 games in 1962, and he won it.
He shouldn't have, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think he should have. No, I don't, to be honest with you. Yeah, he was good, but I don't think he should have won the MVP that year. Was it 62 or 63 that he ran into the fence in Baltimore and broke his foot when he had a wire fence?
I'm curious to look up
at the old Memorial Stadium.
I don't remember that. I was
You weren't born at that point. It was one of those.
Yeah, you know what? 62 might have been a makeup because in 61 they gave it to Maris.
Well, he should have won it. How could Roger not win it? He got hit 61.
Well, the other guy
hit
64 home runs.
I understand that. How do you not give it to Maris, especially with all the pressure that was on Maris
that year? Who had the best overall?
All right, I'm looking. In 62.
You're killing me.
In 62, Mickey played 123 games. He had 30 home runs, 89 RBIs at 320 was tremendous. 1,000 OPS was tremendous. His numbers were far superior to everybody else's. That is true. Harmon Killebrew that year did it at 48 home runs, only hit 240.
Right.
And so maybe that hurt him a little bit.
And the Yankees won a pennant, too, which is fine. I mean, they did win.
And the guy who finished second was Bobby Richardson that year,
Was it
too.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
302 with 8 home runs and 59 RBIs.
I'm surprised. But Bobby Richardson.
There is a history of guys winning the award. Yeah, I think there are three guys who won it with fewer games than Trout has now. So, he's had by far the best season. It's not even close.
I agree he's had the best season. I agree. I think the exception with Mickey, I think there's a couple of exceptions right off the top of my head. Number one, the Yankees were very, very good.
Yep.
Number one.
They won the pennant.
But if you don't care about that, if that's something that Brian Kenny and you don't care about, that's fine.
They don't.
Here's what I'll tell you.
They don't.
There are other guys having really good years. So there are other options. I'm looking at the other candidates in the American League, and I'd agree with you. Put it this way. There was a bigger gap in 1962 than there is in 2019. There are other guys.
Bregman's having a great year. LeMahieu's having a great year. But I think Trout will win. And if I had that vote, I feel bad to admit to you guys, I think I would have to go with Trout. I just think, I do think that the effect on a pennant race counts, but his season is so spectacular. I think
they got to change the name of the award, John. They have to.
No. It makes it it's better this way.
Why?
Because of this
discussion
debate.
This way.
Is that the reason? Is that it?
I think it's nice this way. This is the way it's always
been. It's nice. Okay.
We're traditionalists in baseball, and I think things have changed a bit. But I mean, he's had a fantastic season.
He's been great. Nobody's denying
Mike
Trout's
greatness.
He's not
the best player in baseball.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fact that the guy's 20 games under 500 and his team can't sniff making the playoffs, that does concern me.
Yeah.
And if you're going to give me valuable.
Bregman is probably the second.
But you just hit on it. See, John, here's the problem. Alex Bregman is having a great season, okay?
Yes.
A great season.
And
he does something.
When Correa was out, too.
Of course.
And he did well.
And you know what else he does? How about this novel idea? This is crazy, but it doesn't count. You know, Brian Kenny, our guy, doesn't care about this. Alex Bregman has walked 30 times more than he struck out. He hasn't struck out 100 times this year. Oh, that's interesting. We don't care about that, though.
No.
That matters. Mike Trout, great player. Great. You know how many times Mike Trout has struck out this year with all the games he's missed?
130.
120.
Yeah, close.
How many times has he walked? He's walked a lot.
Okay, because there's nobody around him. Nobody wants to face him. Alex Bregman has struck out 30 less times, and he's played more games. Does that matter? Do we count that?
We count everything, and I do think that Brian Kenny does count those strikeouts, too.
Then vote Bregman.
Yes, I do think so. Because he's talked a lot about how Houston has incredible power, and they also put the ball in play.
All right, 1,083 for Trout OPS, 1,000 for Bregman. I get Trout's better, but are we really talking about this incredible hole? And you even mentioned it. The guy's moved to different positions. He's the MVP, period. Attend it.
And his team is going to have the best record in the league, probably.
What a novel. And he's done. Altuve's been hurt.
Right.
Correa's been hurt.
Springer's
been hurt.
There you go.
Bregman for the MVP.
There you go. Why not?
No.
I'm not even going to say LeMay.
It's not a bad
now.
Case. I got to tell you, it's not a bad case.
But it
case,
won't happen because saber matricians run the world now. Let's get back to football.
I think Bregman will get a couple votes.
Before we get any more aggravated, let's get back to the football game tonight.
Okay,
the Tennessee
please,
Titans.
This will go quick because,
yes.
You know, I
the Tennessee
know
Titans at 1-1.
Yeah.
A 1.5-point favorite over the 0-2 Jaguars in Jacksonville. Your call is what?
I'm going Tennessee.
Okay. Now, did you win last week? I don't even know.
No, I'm on quite a streak.
So you're 1-1 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You had the Panthers because Cam. Right, you had Cam, your buddy
I
Cam.
Know.
By the way, did you see the outfit Cam had on after that game?
No, nice.
Nice. Let's just put it this way. You or I will not be wearing anything like that soon.
No, but, you know, Cam and I are very close, as you guys know.
You guys are tight.
He did not consult me on fashion.
He actually should.
There's guys here. There's guys here that, you know, forget it. I don't know how they were taught to dress, but that they would be more consulted on fashion than what Cam looked like. Let me just tell you that.
Well, I'm sure he looked very good. He's a very handsome young man.
Very
fantastic.
I'll tell you, his hairdo, I don't know about the hairdo he had either. So check it out. Just do yourself a favor and check it out on YouTube.
I didn't see it. I was too upset that I was losing, and I gave
up. All right, but you're going with Tennessee tonight, laying the 1.5 on the road against the Jaguars in Jackson.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, thank you, John.
John, all the love to you, John.
The great John Heyman. It always ends up with us yelling at him either about the Hall of Fame or voting for MVP and Cy Young.
Whatever it may be.
It's true.
It really is.
Oh, boy. We'll come back. We'll get your calls. And,
we should have Brian Kenny on sometime.
Oh, he'd love it.
No, I love
it.
You got to get him on.
I've grown to like Brian Kenny.
I mean, he's a wonderful guy. We just disagree about a lot of things.
He's
a stellar dude.
Look, the one thing I agree with him about, and I feel like this has been won, is the win thing. The winner's thing is always bothered.
I get that.
Okay.
I get the win thing. But I just have a hard time giving the MVP, and I know it's happened in the past, to a guy whose team can't even sniff being in a race.
So
that really does get me, I have to say. They need to change the award to a different – you want to have best player, player of the year, and the MVP? They should do that.
So here's where I'm at with that. I'm half with you, half against you. All right? Here's the way I look at it. If it is a blowout, I have no problem with A-Rod winning in Texas or Andre Dawson winning in Chicago. I don't have a problem with that, okay? Because my question to you would be this. Here would be my counter to your point, okay? let's say Mike Trout played 162 games
right.
and hit 75 home runs
right.
and hit 180 RBIs okay. and his team lost 90 games.
Yeah.
You still wouldn't give him the MVP?
That's an outrageous season.
But that okay. My now, point I mean,
that's
is...
That's above and beyond normalcy.
Okay, so my question to that is, what's the point where you say, oh, my God, that's so good, I'm giving it to him anyway?
It would have to be something like that. Like, they're just so outrageous that you just say, wow, you know what? You okay. just got to give it to the guy.
Okay, so I thought there was a time where Trout was doing that, where he was that much better than everybody else. That's not the case. Has Trout had a better year than Alex Bregman? Yes, he has. I'll admit it. Well, pound for pound, he's had a better year. But Bregman's played more. He's been asked to play different positions.
Right.
And his numbers are right. awesome. I just told them to you.
All right, look.
So,
and his team's the best team in the league.
Absolutely. So there's a line that I'd have, and I guess my line is a little bit different than yours, where I'm willing to go with the guy on the bad team. It's before 70 home runs. But if it's reasonably close, then I'm with you. Then I go with the guy on the good team.
I just think that it's got to be just a stupid season. And you know, he's the best player in baseball. I'm not denying that. But I got a real problem with that. You know, I mean, give me a guy that's – you know, helping his team win a series or win a, you know, get to the playoffs. At least get to the playoffs. That kind of team.
Well, they should put players around them because that team stinks.
Yeah, well, they're terrible.
They really are.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.